A hymn of praise, Psalm 149, verses 1 through 6, and I'm using the Good News translation. Praise him in the assembly of his faithful people. Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator. Praise the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King. Praise his name with dancing. Play drums and harps in praise of him. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He honors the humble with victory. Let God's people rejoice in their triumph and sing joyfully all night long. Let them shout aloud as they praise God. From Isaiah 7, 10 through 16, the sign of Emmanuel. The Lord sent another message to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God to give you a sign. It can be from deep in the world of the dead or from high up in heaven. Ahaz answered, I will not ask for a sign. I refuse to put the Lord to the test. To that Isaiah replied, Listen now, descendants of King David. It's bad enough for you to wear out the patience of people. Must you wear out God's patience too? Well then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son and will name him Emmanuel. By the time he is old enough to make his own decisions, people will be drinking milk and eating honey. From Romans 1, 1 through 7. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus and an apostle, chosen and called by God to preach his good news. The good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets, as written in the Holy Scriptures. It is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As to his humanity, he was born a descendant of David. As to his divine holiness, he was shown with great power to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead. Through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Christ, in order to lead people of all nations to believe and obey. This also includes you who are in Rome, whom God has called to belong to Christ Jesus. And so I write to all of you in Rome, whom God loves and has called to be his own people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And from Matthew 1, 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph. But before they were married, she found out she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, and the angel of the Lord had told him to do, and he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Advent, we wait. We have waited. It's almost here. Christmas, when Santa Claus comes down the chimney. Well, that's what some of us are waiting for. But are we waiting for a thing or a person? Christmas Day, with its decorations and presents and special food and music and family, or Jesus? A flesh and blood person, a savior. You know what? We do this every year. Advent starts the Christian year, and we repeat the cycle every year. Have you ever realized, as we waited these 4 weeks, Joseph and Mary made their way 80 miles to Bethlehem, and then the baby Jesus was born? But then, 2 months later, we enter Lent, then Palm Sunday, and Holy Week, Good Friday. In 4 short months, Jesus ages from a newborn to an adult of 33. Birth to death. End of story. No, we still have the resurrection, the ascension, but let's get back to Good Friday. The disciples were left alone after the crucifixion. What did they do? They were in mourning for their best friend, their leader and teacher, and he was dead. They were full of doubt. They were upset. Had they been lied to? They did everything that they could to become just like Jesus and follow his teaching. They followed him everywhere he went, every day, for 3 years. Now what? Same old, same old? No, Jesus wasn't there to guide them. What would they do? Scatter or hide? Go back to their old lives, fishing? Let's go fishing. Or carry on. In Luke 22, Jesus says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Matthew 26, on the night before his death, Jesus says this, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." The promise was lost on Peter. "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Well, Peter sounds a little arrogant to me. Satan would attack and test Peter. But Satan would never claim Peter. And why? Because Peter was strong? No, because Jesus was strong. Because Jesus prays for us. Max Lucado says in one of his books, "Like Peter, our faith will wane, our resolve will waver, but we will not fall away. We are kept by Jesus and shielded by God's power." And that is no small power. It is the power of a living and ever-present Savior who prays for us. Brothers and sisters, all of us are going to fail at some point. We all have questions that go unanswered. But remember, Jesus prays for us. We can rest today knowing that he is praying for us and that his grace is bigger than our failures. Jesus was perfect, but we are not. Ministers are not perfect either. They cannot do it all. Let's try to remember that they make mistakes just like we do. Let's show our next minister understanding and compassion and respect. So, back to the disciples. When his ascension was near, Jesus instructed the disciples in Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So they had their instructions. And this time they listened. As we learn in Acts, these disciples all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They prayed for 10 days after Jesus ascended, which took them to what we now call Pentecost. And you may remember one of Ann Ross's sermons. She spoke about Pentecost, when God gave us the Holy Spirit. God does not abandon churches. We need to pray for healing, and we need to listen to one another. to reclaim our birthright. God makes possible what we think is impossible. We have the same exact mission today as the disciples. Will we continue the same old way? Or will we sing a new song? Bethel calls a minister, they leave. We call another one, they leave. We call another one, they leave. We hire another one, they leave also. We seem to be in a rut. Same hymn, different verse. What do? Scatter? Some have. Attend another church or no church at all? Or carry on? We're still here. You're still here. Where will Bethel go from here? Is this train bound for glory? Or will we continue to fall off the tracks? We have strong leadership, but we need everyone on board. But here is where we need to sing a new song, a song of hope, peace, joy, love, caring, compassion, respect, and being positive. Let's all step up and do our part, working together for the common good. A good place to start is praying together like the disciples. We have a new baby, a new year, a new chance to get it right. Can we? Will we work together to move forward and get out of that same old rut? Bethel's future is in our hands. In closing, from Paul's letter to Philippi, and this section is entitled Instructions. Instructions. So then, my brothers and sisters, how dear you are to me, how I miss you, how happy you make me, how proud I am of you. This then, dear brothers and sisters, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche, please, I beg you, to agree as sisters in the Lord. And you too, my faithful partner, I want you to help these women, for they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel, together with Clement and all my other fellow workers whose names are in God's book of the living. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude towards everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Put into practice what you learned and received from me, both from my words and from my actions. And the God who gives us peace will be with you. Amen.